This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Verily, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Indeed, whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none who can misguide. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, none can guide him back to the straight path. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness and I testify that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is the final prophet and the most perfect worshipper of our Lord sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the Qur'an by saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, be conscious of Allah as only He deserves and do not die except in a state of submission to Him. As to what follows, imagine, my brothers in Islam, the most expensive and the best blessing that you possess. Imagine your most cherished gift. How would you treat this blessing and this gift? What protocols would you use when it comes to this precious blessing that you desire, that is of great benefit to you? Obviously, every one of us would treat such a gift with tenderness, with care, with love. None of us would intentionally misuse a gift that is precious to us. None of us would harm or damage or wreck such a gift. It is impossible to imagine a sane person doing so. Well then, what do we do in light of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ who told us what is the best gift that Allah can give us? Our Prophet ﷺ said, there is nothing that a believer benefits from more after the taqwa of Allah that is more beneficial for him than a righteous spouse, reported by Ibn Majah. How foolish then and harmful it is if a man amongst us abuses and harms that precious blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. This month, the month of October, is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And for us as Muslims, these months don't change anything. But they are occasions that are useful to remind us of what should be known throughout the whole year, in every month and every single day. And that is that this religion of ours is a religion of compassion and mercy. And that it does not and cannot tolerate domestic violence and abuse against our spouses and families. Sadly, the statistics when it comes to this phenomenon are very chilling. In this country alone, and this country claims to be of the most advanced in the world, in this country alone, across all ethnicities and religions, one out of every three women is the victim of physical abuse by their own partners. Every year, over 10 million people are victims of physical abuse, physical spousal abuse. Every single day, more than 20,000 people call special hotlines across this country, complaining, seeking protection against their partners. And by the way, this is physical abuse that is reported. There is much more that is unreported. And then there is something called emotional abuse, which is almost impossible to report and to quantify, much less qualify. Brothers and sisters, the khutbah's topic today is one that is taboo in most of our khatibs and most of our masajid. But it should not be taboo. The topic today is rarely mentioned amongst enlightened circles of Muslims because we find it embarrassing. It is an open secret that spousal abuse is rampant in our communities. I challenge that almost every one of us, almost every one of us is aware of some couple, some family that is going through spousal abuse. And yet it is a topic that is almost unheard of. And even in polite conversation in our gatherings, we simply do not bring it up. What is even more reprehensible, what is even more despicable, not just our tacit silence, but that some amongst us who are guilty of physical abuse, who are guilty of violence against their partners and their loved ones, some misguided people amongst us actually dare to justify that violence with the Quran and the Sunnah. They believe they have a religious sanction. They believe they have permission from their Lord to harm their loved ones. And they always quote a phrase here and a hadith there, and they say, oh, I am implementing this ayah and this hadith. Now, in this khutbah, we do not have time to get into the details of tafsir, of exegesis. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, you know me by now, I am not a progressive or a modernist who wants to reinterpret the Quran and Sunnah. I am faithful to the tradition. And yet I say, even though we don't have time to go into the details of that one ayah, which is Wadribuhun, the famous ayah of Surah An-Nisa, and yet I say, these people who quote that verse, wallahi, they are not doing it because of the verse. They do what they do, and they beat, and they are violent, and then they want to justify after they have done the deed. Don't quote me iman and taqwa when you have no idea of the manners of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have never opened a book of tafsir and you dare quote me an ayah. You don't know the basics of fiqh and then you attempt to post justify. Once you've done the deed or that is your lifestyle, then you take on the aura of religious sanctity and you say, oh, Allah has allowed me and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has allowed me. Do not lie to those who are more knowledgeable than you. You are not qualified to interpret the Quran and you have not studied the books of tafsir. And as I said, wallahi, we will inshallah someday give more detail because it's not my methodology to reinterpret the Quran. And yet I stand before you today and I say, how can anybody take this one phrase of the Quran and ignore explicit Quranic ayat, an explicit ahadith, an explicit seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How can you ignore what Aisha herself said in Sahih al-Bukhari when she said, I swear by Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never raised his hand against a woman or even a servant. Don't quote me ayat and a hadith and ignore what the wife of the Prophet herself is saying. I swear by Allah in his entire life, he never raised his hand against a woman and a servant. Then she said, unless he was in jihad and perhaps he was fighting somewhere, but in the household, never did he raise his house. And it is narrated in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, which is one of the books of Sahih, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the command, it is now not allowed to hit your wives. So the command came down. It is not allowed. This was the commandment. And the Prophet ﷺ implemented it. He said, you cannot hit your wives. Then after a few weeks, a group of people came to complain. They said, Ya Rasulullah, our wives are taking advantage of this prohibition. Our wives, they're now going beyond the bounds. So, initial commandment, do not do it. Some time goes by, and then the men come and they complain that, look, this commandment is being misused and we want the permission back. We want the permission to put them back in their place, quote unquote. And so the Prophet reluctantly gave them permission to do so. The next day, 70 women came to the house of the Prophet ﷺ complaining about their husband's treatment last night. 70 women complaining to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ gave a khutbah, even though it wasn't Friday. He gathered the Sahaba together. It wasn't taboo for him. It was not taboo for him to address domestic abuse. He gathered the Sahaba together and he said that today 70 women came to my house complaining about their husbands. Wa aymallah. This is one of the qasam of the Arabic language. One of the ways you swear to give emphasis. It's more than just wallah, it's a very strong qasam that I swear by Allah, these men whom these wives are complaining about are not the best amongst you. This is what our Prophet publicly, he embarrassed and chastised these men. These men are not the best amongst you that their wives have been treated this way and they're coming to complain to me. So don't quote me half an ayah. Don't quote me a phrase of a hadith and ignore the rest of the seerah. Ignore what explicitly in the mimbar of the Prophet he publicly announced amongst the people. This is not the way that a gentleman and a real mu'min treats a mu'mina. And how about the Quran in its explicit commandments to husbands? وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with ma'roof. What is ma'roof? Ma'roof has been translated as kindness according to the culture of the time. Kindness according to the circumstance. Because ma'roof also goes back to urf. And urf is the culture. And what this means is that in different places, different societies, what is culturally acceptable, what is the norm, changes from time to time. So what is the proper way that a gentleman acts? What is the proper way a man acts with his wife? This indeed is a spectrum. Different cultures have different ways of showing spousal love. So Allah is saying the commandment in the Quran, in accordance with the time and place, treat your wives with the utmost kindness. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And therefore, brothers and sisters, given this ayah, that there is clearly a spectrum of urf, of interpretation in terms of culture, and knowing the cultural circumstances and the changing of times that we now live in, it is clear to say that the Sharia does not condone the abusing of wives. The Sharia does not justify or allow, given the dynamic changes. And I say very clearly, maybe, perhaps, in some interpretations of the books of fiqh, and in some cultures and places, in some circumstances. And what are those circumstances? What is nushuz? When Allah allows it in the Quran, He says, when you fear nushuz. Do you even know what nushuz is? Some of the books of tafsir said, nushuz is when you fear a woman is flirting with a man, an ajnabi, a stranger, and it might lead to zina. In other words, adultery. And in that society of jahiliyyah, you know, norms were not established about monogamy, about people being faithful to one another. Maybe in some times and places, maybe some types of physical disciplining might have saved a marriage. But given the dynamics of today, and given the norms of marriage today, and of society today, and most importantly, in light of the ideal man, and that is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is really impossible to extrapolate from the Sharia, to justify from the Sharia, the type of rampant wife abuse that takes place in our own cultures. Brothers and sisters, no matter what interpretation of Sharia you follow, you will never find a single scholar in the history of this ummah that has justified beating a woman because of some petty issue. You don't like the food, you don't like this, you don't like that. This is completely unjustifiable. And that is why I say unequivocally, spare me your false piety. It is not from iman and taqwa that you are beating your wife. This is who you are, and then you want to justify it from the Quran and Sunnah. We're not going to buy this from you. The Quran and Sunnah does not allow this type of abuse that is unfortunately rampant amongst many segments of our own society. O men, realize that these women that you are misusing and abusing, these women that you are transgressing on, they are the daughters to other men. They are sisters of other men. They are mothers of your own children. Would you want your own daughter to be treated the way that some of you treat your own wives? Would you want your own daughter to be treated in the household that you're going to send her to the way that some of you treat your own wives? كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. As you do unto others, it shall be done unto you. This is a maxim of Sharia. This is a maxim of our religion. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal and the wrath of the mazloom and the dua of the mazloom. And this is exactly what our Prophet ﷺ said, that in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. So again, don't quote me your misunderstandings. Hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ is yata'ajjab, he's amazed, he's astonished. How can one of you beat your wives like you beat your servants, your animals, and then you will sleep with her at night? How can you do this? She is a woman that is the mother of your children. She is your life partner. This is our Prophet ﷺ. He's expressing amazement. How can you do this? She's a human being. Even before being the sister of somebody and the daughter of somebody, she is a human, a woman that is your life partner. How can one of you, the Prophet ﷺ said, beat her like you beat an animal or a servant, and then at night you will go and sleep with her? He himself is amazed, because wallahi, this is not possible for a loving, caring person to treat another person in this manner and then have a bond of intimacy, a bond of relationship between them. And remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, when he said to the Muslims, Allahumma, and he is saying, he is speaking to Allah, but the audience is us, right? He is addressing Allah, but he's speaking out loud for the Muslims to hear. Allahumma inni uharriju haqqa al-da'ifain al-yateemi wal-mar'a. Hadith is in Muslim Imam Ahmad. Oh Allah, and this is a public announcement, I am making it very strict and severe. Uharrij is no one word in English, but what it basically means is that I am making sure everybody understands how significant the haqq of these two da'if, which is weak people or weak categories, have. I am making their haqq very high. What is the two da'if, the two weak? Al-yateem and al-mar'ah, the orphan and the woman. Now, some women will say, how come the Prophet is comparing us to an orphan? And the response is, an orphan, what does an orphan need? Protection, love. An orphan needs somebody to take care of it. And wallahi, the woman, what she primarily needs is love. What she needs is that nurturing and care, the shelter. As well, an orphan usually has nobody to take care of that person. Many times a woman who has been married off, she feels as if she has nobody else to take care of her except her husband. So the Prophet equated the mar'ah with the yateem, even though the mar'ah is not a yateem. The mar'ah is not a yateem. But the point of having the need for somebody, for protection, and also the sense that there's nobody to help me, I'm all alone here. How many of our women, they feel that sense of aloneness. And so our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us, and it's an announcement that is addressed to Allah even though it's meant for us. Oh Allah, I am exalting the status and the haqq of the two da'if groups of people, the yateem and the mar'ah, which means our Prophet ﷺ is telling us, beware of harming the yateem, beware of harming the woman. These are two groups, their rights have been exalted by our Prophet ﷺ. And remember when the Sharia came down, remember when Islam was revealed and the Quran came down, wife abuse and spousal abuse was rampant. Men would constantly beat and whip and lash and slap their wives all the time. In that society, the Quran and Sunnah was very clear. And our Prophet ﷺ said in that authentic hadith reported in Abu Dawud and many books of hadith, that a man said, O Messenger of Allah, what is the rights that my wife has over me? In a society where wife beating was common, what did our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That the rights that your wife have over you, when you eat, she is eating with you. When you have clothes, she has clothes with you. Meaning the point is, obviously if you don't have any money and you're hungry, well then couples have to suffer together as well. That's the reality. But you cannot eat and have her hungry. So whenever you eat, she has to eat. When you are dressed, she has to be dressed. Meaning you live, you have her live like you. The standard of living is going to be like you. And then he said, and do not slap her. Do not slap her across the face. وَلَا تُقَبِّحْ. And do not, and now we're going to have to translate taqbih over here, and do not abandon her except in her house. These are three things mentioned, right? Do not slap her across the face. And slapping was the most common type of hit. And the hadith came and forbade that. Do not do that. And then number two is tuqabbih. We'll leave tuqabbih for a minute. Number three, do not leave her except in her house. Meaning what? If you have an argument, if you have a fight, you cannot kick her out. You cannot tell her to go back to her family. Unless it's a divorce, that's a different reality after the 3 months. Otherwise, in every average dispute, and average couples have fights, this is the reality. If you're going to sleep separately, if you're going to, then you go and sleep in the living room, not her. And if it's even worse than that, and you want to leave the house, you go and get the hotel, not her. And this is, by the way, all allowed in Islam. Tempers flare. Even our Prophet ﷺ, and to be fully honest here, even our Prophet ﷺ, marital disputes did happen, and he had to leave the household. Who slept in the masjid? He did. He slept in the masjid. So sometimes arguments get really bad, and yes, this is all normal. That's okay, arguments happen. But you never kick her out. You want to go, you leave. She has to remain at home. And that's what our Prophet ﷺ said. Never abandon her. Except if she's in her house, then you get angry and you walk out. Well, then that's your business. But you cannot kick her out of the house. That's not what our Sharia allows. Now I want to get back to this phrase, وَلَا تُقَبِّحْ. Because from this we get to the second main type of abuse, and that is emotional abuse. We talked about physical abuse. Now we get to the second type of abuse, which is emotional. emotional abuse. What does tuqabbih mean? Tuqabbih literally means to make her feel ugly, to make her feel negative about herself. So the first part says, don't hit her on the face. And the second part says, don't demean her in a nasty manner. And this is the textbook definition of emotional abuse. This is the textbook definition of emotional abuse. That to make the person feel humiliated, degraded, to make them lose their self-worth, the yelling, the screaming that is done, the cursing and vulgarities. And so many men will not hit their wives, but their attitude is tuqabbih. Their attitude is making the woman feel like she's worth nothing. And this is the textbook definition of emotional abuse. And our Sharia as well forbids this. We are not allowed to treat a human being in this manner, much less our life partner, much less the mother of our children. And subhanAllah, what is really sad, brothers and sisters, is that all too often, these people who abuse their wives, they are the essence of hypocrites who have two faces. Many times when it comes to the masjid and the community, mashaAllah, they are sweet as honey. MashaAllah, they are the most generous and the most kind. But their friends and their extended family and their immediate family knows all too well what happens behind closed doors. The people that should love him the most and respect him the most, fear him the most and despise him the most. And that is why, when you have such blatant hypocrisy, that is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best man amongst you is the one who is the best to his women and children. Because this is the essence of sincerity. If your wife can respect you, then wallahi you are worthy of being respected. If your wife, who knows your inner secrets and she knows exactly how you are, if she can vouch that this is an honest man. And our Prophet ﷺ had 9 wives, and every one of them admired and respected him to the utmost. That is what you call a true gentleman. That is what you call a model of akhlaq of our Prophet ﷺ. But when your wife and your children know you to be a fraud, then you are a fraud. Even if society puts you on a pedestal that is false. Now, brothers and sisters, time is limited, there's only so much we can do. Obviously, brothers and sisters, the khutbah is primarily meant for the husbands that abuse their wives, because this is the common and the default and the norm in all societies and cultures, Muslim and non-Muslim. And of course, before we finish the first khutbah, we do have to point out that yes, the opposite is also haram, even if it is a rarer phenomenon. But it indeed does take place. And unfortunately, the reality as well is that some men, they are gentlemen enough not to be physical or abusive, but then women take advantage of this. Women at times become abusive. Sometimes, believe it or not, physical. And yes, even in this country, there are statistics, I don't have them in front of me, but there are cases of wives physically abusing husbands, and the husband has been raised in a good manner, so they do not raise their hand back. So they do not hit the woman, and instead they get suffered, and they have physical. But then, of course, emotional as well. And it is also, the opposite applies, where sometimes women become emotionally abusive, when sometimes women become demeaning to the man and degrading of the man. And this is also something that the Sharia forbids. Now, the point of the khutbah is both abuse, but the reality is, generally speaking, it is the man who is abusing the woman. So that's why the main conversation took place there. Nonetheless, before we finish the first khutbah, we have to point out that, of course, the opposite is also haram. The opposite is also something that the Sharia does not allow. And I conclude this first khutbah by reminding ourselves that on the farewell khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he only had 5 paragraphs to address the entire ummah, the most important khutbah of his life, addressed to the largest gathering of 100,000 people, on the plane that is the holiest plane, and on the day that is the holiest day, and he barely has 5 paragraphs, he dedicates an entire paragraph to women. And he addresses men, because once again, typically it is the men who abuse the women. And he tells the men, اتقوا الله في النساء. Fear Allah when it comes to women. Fear Allah when it comes to women. Oh man, You will have to stand in front of Allah on Judgment Day. You think you have power over women? Allah has infinitely more power over you. And you will have to stand in front of Allah, and Allah will ask you how you dealt with your wife, how you dealt with your children. And our Prophet ﷺ reminded us, ittaqullaha fin nisa. Fear Allah when it comes to women, because you took them by the permission of Allah, and you made them halal by the permission of Allah. In other words, it is a sacred contract. It is a covenant. The nikah is a covenant. It is a nikah in the name of Allah. And so Allah's name has been mentioned, and Allah Azza wa Jal will ask you about that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to be the role model and ideal husbands and wives. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Can have the brothers move forward, we already are filled in the back. The question arises, what should be done in light of this unhealthy and unholy phenomenon of spousal abuse? First, advice to the victim. First and foremost, realize, O sister in Islam, or brother if you are the one in abuse, that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Qawi. That Allah is Al-Qawi. And that the one who is strong in the eyes of Allah is the one who is weak in the eyes of men. The weaker and the more oppressed you are, the stronger you are in the eyes of Allah. The dua of the mazloom, of the one upon whom dhulm has been done, is the strongest dua. So do not feel weak. Wallahi, there is no one more powerful than the one upon whom dhulm has been done. And Allah will be on your side if dhulm has been done. So turn to Allah, establish a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal will answer your dua. And always spirituality and iman is a great refuge. It's something that will be positive to the soul. Number two, do not blame yourself. One of the most common symptoms of spousal abuse is you start blaming yourself. Maybe I deserve this. No. No, by Allah, no one deserves to be beaten. No one deserves to be whipped and hit in this manner. No one. Stop blaming yourself. No matter what faults a person might have, it does not justify this type of torture and this type of abuse. And this is one of the symptoms of those who are abused. And recognize this, that we need to overcome that symptom. Number three, if it is safe, and you only know if it is safe or not, then confront your spouse directly. Explain to them that this is not something that you will tolerate. Remind them of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if it is safe to do so. And many times, if it's something that is not that major, something trivial, and they have some iman and taqwa, inshaAllah ta'ala, that will be a good stopping for them. And remind them of some of these ayat and hadith that I have mentioned. If it goes beyond this, or if the situation is not safe, then you need to reach out to people whom you trust. Extended family, extended friends. You need to reach out for help. If you cannot do this alone, then turn to those whom you trust. And if the situation crosses the red line, if you are genuinely fearful of your life, of your physical safety, or the safety of your children, then wallahi, I tell you as a religious scholar, it is wajib to call some type of help, even if it is 911. Your life is more important than any supposed honor or supposed shame that you think you will bring to your family. Nothing is more sacred than your life when it comes to these type of scenarios. If you feel your life is in danger, if you feel your children's life is in danger, then you need to seek help, even if it means the whole community knows and you're calling law enforcement to your house. And in this country and land, as you know, the law will be on your side in this issue. And understand as well, understand as well that if you have such a person in your life and it is constant abuse and there is no change, whether it's emotional, whether it is physical, constant abuse, then think about ending this marriage. Think about divorce. We have a stigma with divorce that is un-Islamic. Islam does not place the stigma on divorce that we do. Divorce is not the end of the world. If you're in a marriage in which your partner is always demeaning, always putting you down, then think about divorce after counseling, after istikhara. Obviously, you don't have time in the khutbah. It's not an immediate step, but think about it and put it on the table as an option. To be out of an abusive relationship and be free is better than to remain your life always being put down and demeaned, much less physically abused. And remember what Allah says in the Quran regarding divorce. وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ. If the two of them split up, Allah will take care of the both of them and supply them with what they need. Do not ever think that if I get divorced, who will take care of me? Your husband did not take care of you, Allah did. Your husband did not give you rizq, Ar-Razzaq did. So if your husband is that abusive and that demeaning and you feel that there's no hope and you have prayed istikhara, you've spoken to family and friends and you realize that this marriage is not good for you, then perhaps contemplate and think about walking away so that you can preserve your dignity, because that is more important than being married to somebody who is constantly belittling and humiliating you. And brothers and sisters, I have to say, as the teacher and the sheikh of your community, and it is sad that in Memphis we do not have a center for women who need help. Maybe our community is too small. Larger Muslim cities, they have Muslim shelter homes for women. They have for battered and abused women, for spousal cases. Maybe our community is too small, I don't know. But may I suggest, and this is my responsibility as the person of some little bit of knowledge amongst you, that even if we don't have a special house, even if we don't have a shelter, inshallah, we will all cooperate together. And we will help each other out. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And I say to all of our sisters and even the brothers, because again, it is a both-way street, that if you have no other option, this community is here for you. If all other avenues have been cut off, your family and friends don't seem to be able to help you, then come to me and come to people you trust. And even though we don't have a house or something, inshallah, we will work together and find a way out. Because it is not allowed for us as a community to turn our backs on our sisters in need. It is fard kifaya. It is a communal responsibility on all of us that we come together and help out one of ours who is oppressed, one of ours who is weak. And my advice to those who are committing the abuse, my advice to those who are the opposite side, remember what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran. وَلَا تُمْسِكُهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Do not hold on to your wives only to cause them more harm. Because there are so many men, they get angry at their wives and they want to make their lives, the wives' lives, a living hell. And Allah says in the Quran, if this is your niyyah, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever does this, you aren't doing dhulm to your wife, you're doing dhulm to yourself. If the marriage is so bad, and if it is so negative, then part way so that there's a breath of fresh air for both of you. You don't have to remain married and inflict wounds and hardships on one another. And the last point to all of us as a community, as a society, that look, this is our fard kifaya. It is our job to get involved in such marriages. It is our job to intervene when we see something going on. You know the slogan in New York, if you say something, see something, say something. It doesn't apply in a lot of those cases because they're invented up. But in our community, we cannot turn a blind eye to such abuse. Next time you know of this scenario or situation in your extended family and friends, intervene. Man up. Talk to that person. Tell him point blank, look, this is what we heard. Is this true or not? Or if you know it is true, tell him point blank, how can you do this? Bring about the pressure of social society stigma. Do what you can. Our Prophet ﷺ, when Barira and Mughith, a long story, I don't have time here, when he saw the marriage splitting apart, he intervened to try to bring them back together again. Even though they didn't ask him to. Now the point of the story for us, it is halal to intervene in a marriage to bring about a betterment. It is not just halal, it's sunnah. Our Prophet got involved in the marriage of two people even though they didn't come to him for advice. Because it's fard kifayah, you want the marriage to last and flourish. So next time you know of such a case and circumstance, and it is in your extended family or friends, it is our communal responsibility to get involved and to have these deep and awkward conversations and make them know this is not going to be tolerated. That's the least that we can do. And brothers and sisters, if we are going to turn a blind eye and we're going to ignore it, it is as if we are complicit in that abuse. It is as if we also have the shame and the stigma and the sin on our hands because we could have gotten involved and we did not get involved. Brothers and sisters, marriage is supposed to be a blessing. Marriage is supposed to be a sign from Allah, an ayah from Allah, the love and the mercy that couples have. And this is the general rule and norm. Sometimes that doesn't work out. If that doesn't work out, part on good terms. Do not stay together to inflict dhulm and harm and suffering and emotional and physical abuse. Whoever does so, as Allah says, has only done dhulm to himself or herself. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us from any such type of dhulm. Allahumma inni فأمنوا. اللهم لا تدعنا في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.